O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. May we lift you up today, and may you be more real to us today than you ever have been. May we realize the realities of eternity, and may we each encourage each other to make heaven our home. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin my sermon, just a reminder, we do have potluck today. And so please join us afterwards to fellowship with us. Potluck is a very good time for us to get to know you and for you to get to know us better, because we don't spend a lot of time with each other here in church. So come with us in fellowship, and it'll be nice when we have our own church up on the hill, but we're over in the gym. Come on over. It's not that cold. And I think the food is going to be really good today. So let's do that afterwards. Now, normally in a sermon, I give a story or to get us into the sermon, then I go over Bible text. But today, I'm going to do it a little differently, and I hope that the Spirit of God will bless you as we do this. Today, I'd like you to join with me as we use our God-given imaginations to experience some snapshots of heaven. We are going in our imaginations back ahead from now 25,000 years to the earth year 27,012. Now, even though each of us in our own minds views things differently, I hope that we will all be encouraged and renewed today by thinking upon the wonders that God has prepared for us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen? So I invite you today to sit back, close your eyes, and be transported into the future to a life very different from the one we live today. We start our adventure on a Sunday afternoon as we sit on the veranda of one of our country estates. We find ourselves reminiscing about the past as we sip lemonade fresh from the tree. Our gaze takes in the beautiful green grass of the huge backyard. The stately trees planted by our own hands that stand as guardians of the lawn. The manicured garden that needs no fertilizer, no pesticides or weed killers, and produces amazing fruits and vegetables with flowers mixed in amongst them. These flowers have no thorns or thistles. Our vista takes in the variety of animals that wander peacefully through our yard. Deers and wolves frolicking together, dogs and cats not bothering each other, lambs and goats unafraid of the leopards and the lions nearby. And there's nothing scary lurking under the bushes. It dawns on us that the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 65, verse 25, the lamb and the wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. These words have come true. We realize that we've almost forgotten the meaning of certain words. Words such as pain, sorrow, suffering, poor, rich, cancer, tumors, useless, ugly, needy, stupid, jerk, and especially the word death. We can't even remember feeling guilt or fear or jealousy or envy or anger or frustration. We can't remember any negative emotion. In fact, all we feel inside is love, joy, peace, overwhelming gratitude, contentment, self-worth, kindness, gentleness, and generosity. We have had to endure constant prosperity and victory after victory for the past 25,000 years. We begin to think about our plans for the remainder of the week. On Monday, we will be traveling millions of miles across space in minutes, just like the angel Gabriel did in Daniel 9, 21 through 23, when winging from the throne of God, Gabriel was sent by rapid flight to earth to explain to Daniel the meaning of his vision. All this in a time that it took Daniel to pray for guidance. We will be examining the plans for the new galaxy that God is currently building. Creating, I should say. He has encouraged us to come and behold this amazing addition to the universe that we will all soon enjoy. He tells us that this project is different from all those presently exist. We marvel that even in the past 25,000 years, we are still amazed at the creative power and awesomeness of God. On Tuesday, we are planning on getting some healthy exercise at our latest project, building a log cabin on a mountainous planet in a beautiful forest. It makes us smile to think of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah's words in chapter 65, verse 21. In those days, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Never did we anticipate how good it would be to enjoy the fruits of our labors. Now we enjoy the sweat of honest work, knowing that our joyful toils will not be in vain. On Wednesday, we are off to visit friends at their beautiful estate to mingle with old acquaintances and make new ones. We have an eternity to make new ones, by the way. There we will enjoy good food and drink and fellowship with the redeemed. We are always pleasantly surprised at these gatherings how enjoyable it is to associate with fellow created beings who can be trusted completely and who are able to share with us tidings from around the universe where they have traveled. Sometimes those who enjoy games will play some amazing heavenly ones, unthought of here on earth. These gatherings encourage us to continue expanding our minds and talents throughout eternity. On Thursday, a group of us will be traveling to a planet known for its amazing terrain, where there are outdoor adventures of a heavenly kind, unlike anything here on earth, exhilarating, invigorating, and enthralling, but without the potential for pain or agony or any mishap of any kind. For those who still enjoy the total awesomeness of God's creation, this is an adrenaline rush far surpassing what any crazy skydiver, snow skier, water skier, or rapids enthusiast here on earth could even dream of. The G-forces that we experience are out of this world. On Friday, we make the trek to the New Jerusalem, where we each have a townhouse in the mile-high city. Ours is over a half a mile up, and we have amazing views out of our patio toward the shimmering body of water known as the New Mediterranean Sea. We have spent many happy hours just sitting on the patio, gazing out on the beautiful scenes below. The verse in Isaiah 65:17 comes to our minds. Look, I am creating a new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad. Rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Here in the holy city, we indeed have and will spend many happy times. Today, we have the honor and privilege of preparing for the greatest day of the week, the day treasured above all others and our favorite, the Sabbath. The day that Isaiah spoke of in chapter 66:23, where God said, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me." We and all the inhabitants of the blessed city are in high energy mode as we prepare to worship the God of the universe. On Sabbath, we realize that for the past 25,000 years, from Sabbath to Sabbath, we have honored God with our worship, and we will never tire of getting together to praise God for rescuing us from this present world. The day begins with a delightful breakfast of mixed fruit that our taste buds never tire of, followed by the quick trip to the glorious throne room of the New Jerusalem. As we enter the throne room, we behold a scene similar to what John the Revelator saw in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they all fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then, as if directed by some great conductor inside of all of us, all creatures in heaven begin to sing. Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. Singing with the heavenly choir to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as fervently as we can brings a smile to each face. Here there are no tears. Here there is only joy at being in the presence of Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, who together have formed a mysterious but beautiful and perfect Trinity in order to save as many as possible from the grasp of Satan. Then Jesus addresses us in a voice that sounds like the mighty thunder of the ocean waves. As the awesomeness of God begins to sink in even more, we realize that it's true. In the 25,000 years we've been in heaven, the Lord has been faithful in His promise to wipe away every tear from our eyes with no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things truly are gone forever. Revelation 21, verse 4. None of us can even remember any of the trials we suffered on earth. Our confidence in the one and only true God of the universe is strengthened, and we leave the worship hall even more convinced, if that were possible, that God truly is worthy of our praise and worship with all that we are. We must give our lives to Him that we may be saved. And as we exit, the angelic choir is singing and making music in such a beautiful manner that we wonder why we ever doubted God when we were here down on sinful earth. Then it's off to the banquet hall, where we eat with the Lord from week to week. As promised in Isaiah 25, verse 6, in Jerusalem, the Lord Almighty will spread a wonderful feast of rich food for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with well-aged wine and choice meat. What an amazing life here in heaven. We muse. We can't think of anything on earth that compares to this, or anything that would have been worth trading for this life. And now, those of you who had your eyes closed, please open them and realize that we are not yet in paradise. In fact, we are in Murrieta, California, still on this sin-filled, strife-laden planet. Now that we've imagined what heaven could be like, and we know that it's better than our imaginations, are any of you interested in living in such a place and having this kind of a lifestyle? How much would you be willing to pay here on earth to obtain eternal life? And could you ever have enough money to afford it? Well, this morning I have both good and bad news. It's polite to always ask which you'd rather hear first. So which would you rather hear first? Bad news first? Okay. Well, the bad news is that you must die to self. You must surrender your life and your plans to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You must deny your own desires and present your ideas to God and allow Him to decide what is best. You must take up your cross in this life daily, shouldering your earth's responsibilities to God, your family, and your fellow man, basically walking in the same way as Jesus did when He was here on earth. As it says in Mark 8, 34 and 35, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Me and the gospel will save it. Now the good news. The good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son, to those who believe and turn away from their evil ways. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Jeremiah 18:11 says, turn from your evil ways and do what is right. I love it when God calls out to Israel, turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? To give your life to God is easier said than done. That's why Jesus, when He was here on earth, said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. It truly is a gift that cost you everything. But this is God's plan of salvation. It levels the playing field for all of us. It doesn't allow the wealthy of this world any advantage. And it doesn't limit anyone and their ability to obtain eternal life based on your race, your gender, the color of your skin, your intelligence or lack thereof, your looks, or your personality. Heaven is offered by God as an equal opportunity for every human being who is capable of making a decision. So, let's have a brief experiment here and now to determine how many of you are qualified to inherit eternal life. All right? Would any of you who think that you might enjoy heaven please raise either one of your hands? By doing that, by accomplishing that simple action, folks, all of you that raised your hands have demonstrated that you have the capability to choose eternal life over eternal death because you made a choice just now. So if it is your desire to be in heaven, you must choose to be in heaven. You must choose to serve God. God will not force himself upon anyone. That is because God is just and fair. And he wants what's best for his children. We are all his children, whether we choose to serve him or not, and he respects that. There are those who, by their actions, state clearly to God and to others that they do not desire to be there. As it's stated in our scripture this morning, Revelation 21:8, cowards, unbelievers, corrupt, murderers, sexually immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and by the way, stubbornness and rebellion are the same as witchcraft and idol worship. Is that true? According to the Bible? Yes. Stubbornness and rebellion. All liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the second death. So if we demand our own way here on earth, living for ourselves, doing only what we desire, we are loudly declaring to God and to others that we are not interested in heaven. But if your desire is heaven, then you will daily choose to serve God, take up your earthly cross and responsibilities gladly, deny yourselves for the good of others, live as peaceably as possible, and as it says in Micah 6, verse 8, do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. This will demonstrate both to God and to the world that you are safe to save. But you say to me, I really want to, but I don't have enough faith. Remember that we can all decide who we choose to serve. So make that choice. And then like the Father in Jesus' time in Mark 9:24, whose prayer was answered when he said, I believe, help my unbelief. If you ask God, he will help you. And remember also in this new year that faith comes from hearing the message. And the message comes from hearing what? The Word of God. So, this new year, I encourage you, those of you who desire eternal life, to get yourself a Bible if you don't have one, or get down one of the many that you have. And this year, make a determined effort to read through your Bible. You know, I never thought it was possible for me to read through the Bible when I was in high school. I just didn't think it was possible. And thanks be to God, somewhere about 10, 15 years ago, someone came out with a Read Through the Year Bible, which is only about $10 now in any store. And you read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Psalms, and a couple Proverbs. And it takes about 20 minutes every day, 20 minutes. I've read through the Bible now for the past 10 to 15 years because of that. Now, thanks to my iPhone, I listen to it. If you have an iPad or an iPhone, you can now download the one-year Bible for about $20 and listen to it day by day. Because if you listen to the Word of God, your faith will be what? Strengthened. Is that true? Because as you read about the faithful, as you listen about the faithful, your faith will also grow. So today, my message is a message of encouragement to us all. Each one of you has the choice, the ability to choose eternal life. It is my prayer that you not only choose eternal life, but that you encourage others to have eternal life as we go through this life together. God bless you all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that heaven is going to be beyond any of our imaginations. You've told us that clearly. We know that it's going to be a wonderful place for those who choose to be there. My prayer is that each person right here, right now, today, will accept you as their personal Savior, will repent of their sins and turn away from them, turning towards you, looking you full in the face, and then following you as you walked on earth by helping others, by being kind and generous, by healing others, by doing good to others constantly. And we know that the reward for this here on earth will be pain and suffering, because no good deed goes unpunished. But we know that our reward in heaven, if we are faithful, will make us forget entirely about everything we've ever had to go through here on earth. Please give us the faith and the courage we need to believe this and help our unbelief. I pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.